Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, once again, we're in Acts chapter 15. Those of you that are following along would know that we're in 16. Verse number 10, Paul has a vision here of a man in Macedonia calling out, looking for some spiritual help. And verse 10 says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Now, that's pretty good. I like the way he says, we got ready at once.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. When I don't really notice that too often, but whenever you get a vision or whenever you have a visitation of the Lord, it's good to do it right away because you forget about it if you don't.
You know, that word immediately or at once, it's used throughout Scripture, and it's really cool to kind of see when it's used and how it's used. Mark uses it a lot to talk about the ministry of Jesus. Immediately something happened, or immediately this. And here, Paul has this supernatural vision, and like you said, if you don't move on it, you'll forget it. It'll die out. It'll dwindle. But here, Paul heard, he's moving.
It's amazing. We do have a good forgetter.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you call it.
Yeah.
We forget things so easily. I don't know about you, but unless I write down a grocery list, I can't never. I come back and I say, oh, I just forgot this.
I forgot this
and I got to make a second trip or something. We do forget so easily. Yeah. So it's important that as soon as you get something from the Lord, if it's a vision, if it's something supernatural that the Lord speaks to you about, the importance, like Pastor Tim mentions, is the immediate following through with it, because either write it down, put it in a note, do something so that you'll follow through on it, because this is what Paul did. He says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Now, I don't think he planned on leaving. He wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go a different way, but all of a sudden, now when he gets this, he says, immediately we get ready to leave, and we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So there's a conclusion that they come to when they get vision, they get this understanding, they conclude that this is the Lord. The Lord is leading them, and they immediately act upon it, like you mentioned.
Yeah. You know, Vice President Pence said he hears from God.
Well, let me tell you something. A lot of other people hear from God, too. This book is full of people that hear from God. So if you're somebody that hears from God, you just better keep listening and then following, because that's truly the only way to go.
And right here's a perfect example. Now, did they hear an audible voice? Well, he had a vision. He saw something.
Yeah, that's even better.
And he wanted to move in one direction, but God said, I want you to go this way. There's been times in my life where I was trying to do one thing, and God stopped me or said, nope, I want you to go this direction. So I can understand exactly what happened to Paul here.
You know, I'll even go so far as to say there's sometimes when I'm going somewhere and I'll miss a turn and I'll go the wrong way and I'll say, oh, I went the wrong way. Then all of a sudden I'll think, yeah, maybe I've missed an accident.
Who
maybe
knows?
I don't know. Maybe God's taking me this way. And so, you know, it's your attitude in life,
exactly.
I think, that's really a key.
Yep.
If you can look at it from the bright side, here, these people, they recognize this missionary Paul. He said they recognized that God was speaking to them. They concluded that this was God. They made a decision. They had their attitude correct, and they decided this is what we're going to follow. And we know great things happen. The gospel goes
into Europe.
Goes
into Europe, spreads throughout there, and just does an amazing thing.
Yeah. So they're called, and they go, and they preach the gospel. So it's one thing to actually be ready to go, but it's another thing to go and preach the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. He had a plan, he had a purpose, and he was going to fulfill that purpose.
Yeah, some people like to go on missions trips, but they're going on a vacation. They're not really going to preach the gospel. And so there's a difference here. So you got to make sure that you're motivation is correct.
Exactly.
So now we find in verse number 11, from Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace.
Yeah.
And that, and the day, and the next day onto Neapolis.
Yep.
So they're on a ship traveling. Now, missionaries used to travel this way on ships before we had airplanes. Now, today, we would say they got on an airplane in Bradley. They went to Chicago. From Chicago, they went to Seattle or somewhere.
Right, yeah.
It's a bit different today than there. But nevertheless, I want you to notice there's a progression that takes place.
Yep.
They're not stopping. They're moving forward, following the vision.
Yep.
Then they stop at one place, but they keep moving. And from there, they traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Now, I know there's a lot of different philosophies and strategies for missions, and sometimes it's to go to the jungles, and other times it's to go to the most populated area, a leading city, and from that city, you have a lot of people that come into the city, and they end up going back out into the country.
Right.
So there's different philosophies here, and I think in this particular time, we see a philosophy of missions. He's going to a very well-trafficked area where people come in, because if people come in, they can hear the gospel and take it back.
Yeah. You know, the amazing thing thing is the Greeks came in, Alexander the Great conquered the world, created a wonderful highway system, and then the roads that were put in, the Romans came and followed him, and all roads lead to Rome, and all of this stuff. They put in all of this great travel ability for these people. So Jesus comes on the scene, does his amazing work of living, dying, rising from the dead, and now you've got these men traveling throughout the then-known world on all of these incredible roads through the shipping, through the Silk Road, and all that was available to them, and they're getting the word of God out.
It's amazing, truthfully, because the Roman did build an infrastructure that enabled people to travel much easier with the road systems, and they probably were not as dangerous because they were well-traveled, so it was safer. I know when we visited Israel, it's interesting because when you're visiting some of the places in Israel, you see the Roman roads, and every so often you see a mile marker, just like we have on our freeways. We have freeways, we have mile markers. So if you break down, you just tell them what mile marker you're at, and they know right where you are. Where in the Roman road system, they had a mile marker every mile. And the reason they did it is because if a Roman soldier was walking on the road with all of his armor and everything he had, they could constrict? They could tell a civilian, you have to carry my armor and all I have for 1 mile. And they were forced to carry it for 1 mile. It was a rule. So the Roman soldier could get some breaks and let somebody else carry his heavy stuff. And that's why Jesus says, if they ask you to carry it 1 mile, you carry it too. So you kind of go the extra mile, if you will. That's where that term comes from,
going the extra mile.
So it's interesting, like you mentioned, that they have this traveling, this road, and Paul is on this road, and they're traveling on this road, and here they are in Macedonia, where God had called them. And it says in verse 13, on the Sabbath, they went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. Now, I wonder why they expected to find a place of prayer beside a river.
You
interesting.
Know, it is interesting. Normally, he would go into the synagogue. It doesn't sound like there was a synagogue here. They were outside of probably the reach of, where the Jews had been exiled or, taken out. And so here it was probably just all pagan, and in the sense of pagan, just, not Jewish, whatever. And so it was just the Roman gods or the Greek gods or whatever, pagan in that religion. So instead of going to synagogue, They went out to find a place of prayer by a river, just looking for a quiet place to spend some time in God's presence.
Has to be something about the river, because rivers were lifebloods of transportation. Rivers were where everything happened. Things came in, things came out, and the city gate was no different. The city gate was the most important part. That's where a barter was done at the city gate. That's where you'd change coins. That's where you would actually speak with the elders, because they're at the city gate. So it became a place where you would speak to people, and the river was an important place where transportation took place. So maybe because of the river and the gate, they decided this is a place where there's going to be some people. There's going to be people, perhaps maybe since it's on the Sabbath, we're going to find some people that are going to be praying.
There you go.
If they're praying on the Sabbath, they're going to be Jewish. And so we're looking for an audience and where the people are going to be. So they go there expecting that they're going to find somebody praying. And when we sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there, the women who had gathered there, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. So whatever they decided to do, it worked out.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's amazing.
Because here's this lady from Asia Minor, where they kind of just were over there. Thyatira is one of the seven churches in Revelation, so we know that's from Asia Minor. And she made it over to Greece. So there's a little bit of connection there. And here's this businesswoman, basically.
Very, very important business.
Because purple cloth was pretty expensive back then, from what I know.
You couldn't hardly get it.
Yeah. And so here she is, and she's listening to them pray, speak, talk, preach Jesus.
It's always interesting to me because purple was my mother's favorite color, especially as she got older.
Okay.
When you get older, older women like purple.
Yeah.
And it's a royal color, obviously. And you mentioned it was because it was expensive. It came from a snail that they could only find in the ocean, and it was the only place they could find the this purple color. Mm. And it was very expensive because it took a lot of snails from the ocean to produce this cloth, this purple. So she was a wealthy woman because she made purple cloth, which was royalty. And here she is. She's not only wealthy, but she's a worshiper of God. Now, Paul couldn't ask for much better than that.
No.
You've got a wealthy woman who's a worshiper of God.
Worshiper of God.
And when you think about wealthy women, we think about sometimes Bethany, because Bethany was really pioneered and started by a very wealthy lady, Mrs. Weaver, who was a tycoonist. She was from
Atwaters. George Atwaters.
And she was wealthy, and she really helped Bethany get on the go and start. And so this is what happens to Paul right here.
Yeah.
It's just pretty cool.
Just a phenomenal story here. If you ever come into Bethany, come in door number one. We've got all of our doors numbered. Come in door number one, hang a right, and you'll see a picture of Mabel Weaver right there, and you'll see the history.
And she was quite a mighty woman and very wealthy, took care of Bethany when it first started.
Yeah.
And here, this is what happens in Thyatira. We find this woman, Lydia, who becomes a helpful worshiper for God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, two things are very important here. One, she was already a worshiper.
Right.
She worshiped God.
She knew God.
Number two, she was probably very, I would say, creative, because she was, like you say, she was already a businesswoman. Yeah. Back then, to be a businesswoman, that was special.
Right, yeah.
Back then, that's not something women did.
Right.
But here, she's very accomplished.
Yeah.
She's a worshiper of God, but then the Lord opens her heart, and then she responds to the message.
To the message.
I've seen God open people's heart, and yet they still don't respond to the message.
Yeah.
They sit there and don't respond to it.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, if you draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to you.
Yep.
So sometimes you might be sitting there, and your heart is stirred. You can feel it. But if you don't respond, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Because when you take a step towards God, He takes a step towards you. And so that's really a key, I think, that helps this woman to truly become a believer.
Yeah. You know, there's a wonderful gift that God has given to us, in that He's let us know who He is through creation. We can see Him, you know, we can see His handiwork in the skies and the stars. I was driving last night, saw the sunset. It was a gorgeous looking sunset. The colors are amazing. And you look around and you know that there's a God. She may have had a relationship with God from the Jews that she knew, you know, whatever, some kind of other knowledge of God. But then there's this message that we get, this specific message about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, who lived and died for our sins, rose from the dead. So we hear another side to the story of God. And that touched her heart. And the Holy Spirit revealed to her, that's the truth, and that's the only way that you can be saved, and you can be forgiven of your sins, and you can be guaranteed eternal life. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. She responds to that message. She follows through when she hears it.
Yeah, that's two very poignant points here. I'm sorry. Points are, she opened her heart.
Yep.
And she responded to a correct message.
Yeah.
The correct message. It was a message that was truly God-given.
Yeah.
And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. Now, it's by the river, so it's going to be baptized. Baptism is going to be easy, right by the river.
Right in the river.
So here, she's baptized, her and her whole household. Now, when they receive Jesus and they're baptized, they're so excited about this, they say, Paul, why don't you come stay with us? Now, obviously, seller of purple, she's got a nice house.
Right.
Paul's going to go. He knows how to be abased and he knows how to abound.
Right.
Here, he's going to abound for a while. Probably going to eat good for a little while.
Yeah, for a little bit.
You know, he's not going to get stoned.
Right. He's not going to get beaten up.
No.
You know, he normally would go into a town, stir up a little trouble,
and get beat up.
And get beat up and kicked out of town. But here, hey, this is great.
This is great. Thank God for ladies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So here, she accepts him to come into the house.
Yeah.
And he says, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come stay at my house. And she persuaded us.
Right.
Paul persuaded them, and she persuades them back.
You know, and it wasn't just Paul. Now, understand, there was a group of them, so she was being hospitable to everybody, and it's up and up. It's on, you know, it's okay. It's a good thing. There was, you know, just a wonderful spirit of hospitality that hits. And you know what? We see that a lot in church. There's just some people that have that gift of hospitality.
They really do.
Open their doors up to people and are a blessing to people.
There is. And If you haven't found a church home, please come by and visit Bethany. Just stop and talk with a couple of the people. We have a wonderful place that you can visit after the service is over. Yep. It's a nice place that you can gather and meet some of the pastors and discuss your spiritual life with them if you'd like. Or you just come and join the service and just enjoy it. And we hope that you will be persuaded to come and to be part of it. Because the whole thing about Christianity is relationship.
That's it.
It starts with a relationship with Jesus. That's just what happens here. She gets her relationship with Jesus. She hears Paul preaching, but it's all about a relationship with Jesus. She connects with Jesus. And after she connects with Jesus, it's so much easier then to connect with people.
Yeah.
He's the creator.
Yeah, it's living life in community.
That's beautiful.
And you become a part of the family of God. See, at the point of salvation, at the point she received that message, she became a daughter of God. And now her spirit cries, Abba, Father, Daddy. And so you become a child of God. And she immediately had a connection, a spiritual connection to the team, you know, Paul and his team. And she knew that there was a bond that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ.
I want you to think about that just for a minute, what Pastor Tim mentioned. You're a child of God.
Yeah.
Now, that's an amazing thought. Yeah. You know, we become children when we're born, and yet when we receive Christ into our life, all of a sudden he says that we become born again, so we become a child of God. Now, I don't know if there's anything better in life than being a child of God, because he cares for you. He loves you like no one else can. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure where you are in your relationship with people or with God, but I tell you, this would be the best move you could make.
Amen.
Is if you yourself would say, Lord, I want to be one of your children. I want to believe in you. I want to understand what you've done for me and how much you love me and become his child. You couldn't ask for anything better in your life. There's nothing that's better than that in this life, nothing. And unless you believe that, you're going to look for everything else.
Yeah.
You're going to start looking for anything and everything else to fill that void. Nothing going to be better than becoming a child of God.
And if you come to our website, you can check out a wonderful website that gives you answers. If you have tough questions, come to our website, check it out, ask some questions, and you'll find that God has the answers for you.
Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. You have a great day.